This episode and every episode of the Beer Guys Radio Show is brought to you by Ironmonger Brewing. Visit Ironmonger at their tap room in Marietta, Georgia, or online at ironmongerbrewing.com.
Open up a tab, grab a seat, and pour a pint. It's time for the Beer Guys Radio Show.
You want free beer? Go to the brewery.
Dedicated to the art, science, and enjoyment of craft beer.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got?
Now, here are your hosts, Tim Dennis and Brian Hewitt.
Welcome to the Beer Guys Radio Show. We are broadcasting from the Beer Guys Radio Studios in Marietta, Georgia. This week, we're talking about beer, Brian. We've got a variety of topics to cover. Cool stuff to talk
Imagine
about.
Imagine that, us talking about beer.
The Beer Guys talking about beer, current events. I'm Tim Dennis, for those that don't know. And I'm with here with my friend, my co-host, Brian Hewitt.
I almost jumped in to introduce myself. I don't know why I had that impulse. I think we did a commercial.
We should change it up some, though. We've been using that intro for a while.
It works. So, hey, Tim. That's right. We've got a lot to discuss. We've got hop supply issues. We've got new hops. We've got how selling out is somehow still a punk thing to do, and a whole lot more. The show is going to be equal parts hoppy and punk. So it's going to be great.
Punk, huh?
Yes, correct.
If there's one thing that people think when they look at us, it is punk, definitely.
Oh, for sure. For sure. We'd be even more punk if we got into a partnership with AB InBev.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's the punkest move of all.
I mean, I can't think of a punker way to go.
You know, I was an attempted skate punk when I was younger. I think punk is a lifestyle, so some may call me a poser, I guess, but I felt it at the time, so I guess it was legit. But
did you actually skate is my
question. Absolutely. Yeah, I skated, you know, I wore the, whether they were Vans or I had Vision streetwear shoes, you know, I wore my metal shirts, or I had the like Bones Brigade, you know, the Pal Peralta shirts. I even had like a tall spiked mohawk, Brian. So pierced ear, spiked mohawk. A lot of people don't believe when I say that, but
safety pin to the ear.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I did that, or through the jeans, you know, writing in black Sharpie, you know, different band logos and stuff on there.
Now there are some people that did the look, but didn't actually skate. And those people are definitely posers. But if you actually skated,
I listened to the music. I dressed the part. I was as punk as I could be.
I don't think there's any question as to that being punk. I knew people that would hang out, and basically what they would do is go hang out at the quote unquote smoking church near the
smoking church.
Yeah, the smoking All church. Right. It's a church near the campus that was kind of attached, so you could get over there, and they would be over there smoking, dressed up like they were skaters. I never saw them skate.
They wore
skaters, and I did like some of the stuff that they wore. So I did wear Airwalks.
Airwalks.
I like those shoes.
They're still around, Brian.
Yes, apparently that is now owned by JCPenney, which sounds bizarre and old, but I still like those shoes. I looked at them just the other day, and I'm like, I considered buying them, and they look like the same price as they were when I bought them back in the day.
That's hard to beat.
Yeah.
See, my skate punk phase is when I discovered Jenny Cream. So that was when I was up in New York. So good things came out of that. The beauty of Jenny Cream.
Yes, punk leads to good things.
It does. Beer. You know, Brian, I believe this is born of a Twitter conversation, but I think an Untappd post actually on Twitter talking about discontinued beers. And to be honest, there's a lot of them that I can't recall that I would want to come back. But what are some beers that aren't with us anymore that you'd love to see rise from the dead?
Well, we talked about these, I think it may have been this weekend or maybe it was on a previous show, but Boulevard's Coffee Ale. Yes. I think Coffee Ale came up as a result of the King Cake discussion.
Talking pastries, yes. Right.
And Harvest Dance. When I think of those two, I can't think of one without thinking of the other. Another one I'd like to see come back is Weyerbacher's Sunday Morning Stout. That came up, came to mind thinking about that. I'm like, man, that was such a great beer. And I think that initially it was very popular, but I think that there were so many barrel aged beers out there that people forgot about it. But that was a bang for your buck beer.
I was like going to say, if I remember, the price on that one compared to quality was great.
Yes. Reddit liked to point out, it was an ideal price per ounce for that. And in these days, we need a good PPO beer. Unfortunately, I don't think that helped Weyerbacher out too much.
It was checked by the PPO police.
That's right.
It passed.
It did.
So, you know, one for me, Brian, and this may be cheating a little bit, but Sweetwater Exodus Porter. And it does make appearances at special events. It was on at 420 Fest. and they recently had their anniversary and it was on there, but that's one I'd like to be more readily available. They do variants of the coffee version of that is really good, but Exodus Porter is just a really good drinking porter. So I'd love to see that one on the shelves again.
I agree. And I think the Great American Beer Fest also agrees with you, because I think they got like a gold medal for it, or they got some sort of medal for it, and almost immediately discontinued it because I guess our market here, which was the only one I think it was available in for quite a while, just didn't support it, which is a shame. But I don't think a porter's ever going to have, well, I can't say never, but hasn't in a long time had the same kind of hype that an IPA will have, which is why Sweetwater has a bunch of different IPAs, but very few porters.
So. Well, the thing is even if you're the greatest of your style and you're a medal winning beer, if you're not selling, then it doesn't make business sense, you know, which is why it appears on the taps at the tap room or at special events. Yeah. It's like, hey, it's still a good beer. It's just not something. And, you know, Sweetwater's a larger brewery. You know, they have to think about a fairly large distribution footprint.
Sure.
It just doesn't make sense to keep it going.
They got a schedule to make, a lot of beer to put out there, and it does make sense, and it does make it more special, and you're going to drink more of it when you see it if it shows up at special events. So I do appreciate that they will bring something like that back.
Yeah. And you know, so is it cheating if you do like one-offs as beers you want to come back? Like here in Georgia, Terrapin had their side project series that they did some really Dos Cocos, if you remember that.
Oh, yeah, Dos Cocos. Yeah, that was a good one.
And related, Brian, to what we're going to be judges, we've been invited to judge at the Wake and Bake Off for Terrapin that they're having here in Atlanta. So pretty cool. They take their Wake and Bake Stout, and in celebration of that, we've got some Wake and Bake to drink tonight. But they did a lot of one-offs for Wake and Bake, too, like Cinnamon Rolled.
Yes,
that was a great one. That was really, they did a Tiramisu. I think that was Moohoo.
That's Tiramisu,
right?
Yeah, Tiramisu. Yeah, I think that's right.
But those were good. A lot of really nice kind of one-shots, especially with stouts. You know, they'll dress those up and do a nice one-off pastry release.
Those were back in the days when your special releases still came out in 22-ounce bottles. And if they're really special, they got wax dipped.
They did.
And
they
think the cinnamon rolled Wake and Bake had scented wax. I think it might have been two layers of scented wax.
I personally complained to Spike, the founder and owner of Terrapin, about the wax on his bottles, because it was just ridiculous to try and get the wax. And I love the presentation of that, but you almost needed a chainsaw to get the wax off those Terrapin bottles.
The scratch and sniff bottle, though, that was funny. I probably still have one in my cellar, and it's probably not doing so well because they weren't really high ABV beers. They were just special releases. But, well, you know, Tim, I think it might be time for us to get into the beers of the week before we run out of time.
Before we run out of time, beers of the week, Brian, we've got some good ones to get into right now. In celebration of the season, Brian, we're drinking a Beta's Mardi Gras Bock, which is actually nice, toasty drinking one. We need to get our king cake still. We haven't acquired king cake. We discovered that neither of us really know what Mardi Gras is. I don't know if that's the Fat Tuesday or the season in general, or I think they said it goes to Ash Wednesday, but there's, it may just go to Black Tuesday. We don't know, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I all I know is there are beads involved, and you know, there's king cake apparently, and I don't know.
I think so.
Certain streets in certain towns,
parades and all that stuff. But anyhow, a Beta Mardi Gras Bock, which is really nice. We're drinking that now. We do have the Terrapin Wake and Bake, just the basic Wake and Bake that we're going to get into. We have the Terrapin Maple Pecan Praline Wake and Bake. That sounds intense.
Yes.
So I'm curious to get into that. I think we talked about pralines or pralines, however it said, recently, didn't we?
Probably.
They're pretty intense, very rich. And from 105 West Brewing Company, we've got their triple, you know, so we'll check that out and see what's going on.
Sounds refreshing.
Yeah.
And that was one I got as a gift, like a beer of the month type of thing from my sister and her husband. So that was pretty nice. I'm like, oh, okay, random beer. I'm like, well, let's give it a shot.
How are you liking that beer of the month thing? Because I know those can be hit or miss.
It's been pretty good. The first time around, I was all on top of it. I picked out stuff I wanted sent, and they were pretty good options. And this next time around, they showed up. I'm like, oh, yeah. It's a little bit like BMG where you got to select your CDs.
Yes.
Otherwise, they just send you whatever, or you opt out or whatever. So a little bit of a roll of the dice, but the tiki theme sour we had, Humble Forager, I think last week, that was from them.
Okay.
And that was an unexpected treat. I really like that one, and we'll see what the other ones are like.
Your first case of beers is a penny. Then after that, it's $400 a case.
Exactly right. Yes, correct.
You're listening to the Beer Guys Radio Show. We're going to take us a quick break, but we will be right back after this.
Have you visited Ironmonger Brewing recently? Take a trip and see the newly renovated and spacious tap room, or enjoy the outdoors in their new beer garden with plenty of seating and shade to ease that summer sun. Ironmonger's tap room has a variety of craft beer and hard seltzer on tap, with wine and spirits coming soon. Ready for a bit of adventure? Try out axe throwing with Ironmonger's 16 target range. It's a perfect spot for some quick fun or to host your next party or corporate event. So grab your friends and have some fun today at Ironmonger Brewing.
Follow the Beer Guys on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
What in tarnation?
Now, back to the Beer Guys Radio Show.
Welcome back to the Beer Guys Radio Show. Remember, all episodes are available on demand, so if you miss the broadcast, get the podcast. Beer Guys Radio is available on the Podcast Park and all popular and unpopular podcasting apps. Now let's get back to the show.
Brian, you've got some interesting information to share with us on hops.
Yes.
And the hop harvest. And what is planned for the market there? And you know what? I'm going to steal a little bit of your thunder here. You were going to ask the question, where do you think we are with hops here these days? Do we have a shortage or is there a surplus? Mike, Nate, what do you think, man? Yeah. Do we have too many hops or not enough?
I would think that we have too many hops.
Okay. Fair enough. Nate is correct.
I would have actually, before reading this, I would have thought there was some sort of shortage in terms of hops in some level, but I just assumed there was always a shortage and people were always looking for more hops.
So you know what? I would give my two cents on this, but Brian, you actually have some data here that can be said much better than I would. So why don't you share the news with us here on what is up with hops?
So according to Bart Watson, the Brewers Association's chief economist, the U.S. hop supply is, quote, unsustainable, and brewers should be prepared for a market correction. Apparently, the hop supply, the actual availability of hops, has outpassed hop usage for more than 6 years, and we should expect them to reduce the supply in the future. We're in a period of relatively static but record high production, 110 million pounds of hops annually. The hop overall oversupply is a result of contracts signed during the boom years between 2010 and 2018. So people were signing contracts to ensure they got the hops they needed. So, hop growers had to make sure they had that availability if the people wanted them. Of course, apparently people aren't going to honor all their contracts or buy everything. I don't know how the contracts work, but I guess they don't have to buy everything that's available to them. So the hop growers are sitting on a lot of supply in their barns, and it's going to become a real problem. So the growers end up having more on hand than they end up needing. So it's been offset a little bit by other places that want U.S. grown hops, but it's not by enough. So brewers' hop stocks have been declining in recent years. So even the breweries are not keeping as much on hand as they previously had been. So we're expecting, Bart Watson is expecting a reduce from the 110 million pounds of hops annually to probably about 100 million pounds annually. So about a 10 million pound drop per year, which may mean that it may not be as easy for brewers needing a hop to find it. So these days, they say you could just ask the brewery down the road, hey, I need this hop, I ran out, and they probably have some. That's probably going to change.
Well, that, you know, we've seen ups and downs of this cycle, and I don't remember the exact year, but there was a time there was a hop shortage, and Sam Adams stepped up,
yeah,
you know, and let some breweries get some of their hops at the cost there, because it was enough of a shortage that it could have closed breweries, you know, just not having the ingredients to be able to sure. brew. You know, then we've had a boom period here. You know, we know yeah. that very well. We've also seen breweries closing. We're seeing closures there. And this is something that a couple years ago when we had Bart Watson on the show, he said we're going to start seeing this. This was pre-pandemic. And as we've mentioned before, call it good timing, bad timing. I don't know what you'd say, but when the pandemic hit and government funds became available to keep businesses going, there were probably some breweries that would have closed 2 to 3 years ago that got another 2 to 3 years of life there.
Sure.
But now we're at a point where, you know, not, the market hasn't changed. It hasn't gotten better, you know, in 2 to 3 years. So we're at a point here where we're starting to see, you know, lower productions for certain breweries. There's more breweries, so people have more choice. And it's not whether or not a brewery is a good brewery or not. But if you've got, if 5 years ago you had five breweries to choose from and you split your time equally, and now you got 30 breweries to choose from and you split your time equally, then everyone's going to be a little lower than they were 5 years ago when they were one of only five breweries on the block. So,
sure.
So we're seeing that as it slows a little bit and the projected growth and people buying hop contracts well beyond what they needed because they didn't want to miss out. Here we are, Brian.
Here we are. Now, here's the crazy thing. Do you think that by hearing this, you think that the use of hopping is down in beers, right? It, like, that seems to imply that, right?
Okay, here's my speculation. I would say no. I would say there's still a lot of hops being used, but production got ahead of usage there, would be my guess. Because from what I recall, looking at like sales volumes and that, there's still slight growth. So people are still drinking more beer.
Yeah.
And we know IPAs and those are still king there. So my vote would be that hop usage maybe is not down.
Yes. Hop utilization, and you're on the right track. Hop utilization, if you adjust for oils, powders, and other non-pellet whole cone products, is actually up in beers by the most recent numbers. And I think it was actually the utilization of hops themselves is about 4.5%, if I remember correctly. And I'm just going off. If I didn't write that part down, because I didn't think I would get that deep into the woods. But
yeah, that makes sense to me.
We're actually up. Despite there being oversupply and them needing to cut back, we're using more than ever hops in our
beer. I mean, when you've got an agricultural product that's going to take probably a couple few years, I don't know what the cycle is on hops, to realize its full potential, then trying to get ahead with current trends, you'll end up at a place where you're outpacing that.
Yes. And all of this is forecasted. It's not actually happening yet.
Okay.
So it's kind of a cautionary tale. Be on the lookout to make sure you have what you need set aside. Don't assume it'll just be out there for you to grab.
Because it wasn't that long ago, I remember brewers on their discussion forums talking back and forth about trying to get a hold of a hop, or there's a couple of websites that sell quote unquote surplus hops, but there were certain hop varieties that were selling secondary market, just like whiskeys and beers and all of that, that were selling for just ridiculous markups just because of the demand for them.
And I know some brewers change formulations of their beers because, like, it's just, they got priced out of it. Like, we can't actually continue making this beer because that hop is just, it's too expensive. It's been pappified.
Sure. And you know what? I will not call anybody out here, but there are certain breweries that do direct their brewers, you know, do what you can, but we can't buy these super expensive rare ingredients here. You know, just the budgets, make the absolute best beer you can, and without spending on the uber luck, the Gucci hops.
The Gucci hops.
The Prada hops, Gucci hops, all of those. So, yeah.
Come in a designer bag. That's fantastic.
But saying that, Brian, there's new hop varieties out there too. We're always getting new ones. And I actually just discovered one recently, correct?
Correct. Yes. It's called Monocacy, I guess. M-O-N-O-C-A-C-Y. It's chicken coop for years and years and years. When it was discovered, when the guy contacted a brewer, it was thought to just be a leftover cluster hop from the Maryland hop industry from the 1800s. The hop was sent to the USDA's National Clonal Germplasty Repository. It turns out it was completely genetically unique. So this is legitimately a new hop that nobody's ever used. It has an unusual mix of alpha and beta acids. And for those that want to geek out, it's 2.77% alpha, 4.3 to 5% beta. I don't actually know my alpha acids well enough to know how unusual that is, but it's super productive, which is also a plus. 2 pounds per plant in the first year by dry weight. So they really churn out the hop cones. It's apparently like a blend of Saaz and Southern Cross hops, fruity, floral, spicy, and earthy. And here's a quote from it. Seems best suited for lighter styles like traditional pilsners or lagers or a Belgian patters beer. So this plant can be used by any university right now or for propagation or breeding or whatever they want. The people putting it out there just want everybody to know it came from Maryland. So that's kind of
a Maryland hop.
Yeah.
Who'd have thunk it?
Yeah, I'm excited about this. I know that they were looking for this, and apparently they hadn't gotten a lot of contact looking for these wild American hops they knew are out there. It's cool that they found one, and it looks like a really interesting variety.
See, now I feel like that's something that would be fun for like the BA or somebody to finance. You know, let's go search the rural parts of America and find hops.
Yeah,
Johnny Hoppleseed.
Johnny basically. Hoppleseed.
The reverse,
no, he went around planting
the reverse
hops.
Of that.
Go steal the seeds back and cut down the plants.
Go find the hops, man. Go find the hops.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
No more apple trees. You are listening to the Beer Guys Radio Show. We're going to take us a break here, but we will be right back.
Have you been to the Nest Kennesaw yet? Hi, I'm Adam, owner of the Nest in historic downtown Kennesaw, and I want to personally invite you to visit us. With the best damn barbecue in town, 48 taps of always rotating craft beers, a dog-friendly patio, all in two conjoined historical homes, we know there's something for you at the Nest Kennesaw. Find us at thenestkennesaw.com to start drooling over that menu, or go ahead and grab your friends, your family, or just yourself and come on in for a pint. The Nest Kennesaw, can't wait to have you at our table.
Guys on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Roger, roger. What's our back there, Victor?
Now, back to the Beer Guys Radio Show.
Welcome back to the Beer Guys Radio Show. I want to give a quick shout out to one of our great radio affiliates, WGSO 990 AM in New Orleans, Louisiana. Catch Beer Guys Radio on WGSO every Saturday at 8 p.m. Now let's get back to the show. And I did not pick them specifically for this week. They came up by luck of the draw.
You shouldn't have said that because I thought you were smart for a second. I thought you would plan that and you could have just rode that out.
Here's the thing. I've got a spreadsheet where I maintain all the affiliates, and I was going to cherry pick them over some others. I realized I hadn't updated the spreadsheet. So it turned out it was. So I thought about it and then I realized it was going to happen anyway.
No.
So both brilliant and happenstance.
No, I don't believe that part, Brian. But, you know, it's probably just because you're so punk, Brian.
It's because I am.
Things
yes.
like that. And, you know, you're not the only one in the world that's punk.
I've Brewdog, heard this.
The punkest.
Are they?
Just, yeah, they'll tell you in their corporate press release and junket, they will tell you how punk and individual they are. And the thing is they constantly do things that say how punk they are, Brian.
Of course.
Like, yeah. I think there's a new story this week about the punkness.
Yes, there is. In the punk tradition, Brewdog is partnering with Budweiser to sell beer in China.
Yeah.
This is very punk, Tim. Let me just tell you. I've never seen punker activity. I'm trying to do my best Donald Trump right now, so
the
I don't know if it's working.
The punkest.
I've never seen a better punk, a bigger punk than this brewery. Anyway, Punk IPA will be brewed in China at Budweiser China's Pushin Brewery in the Fujian province. I don't think
that
I said any of those
close.
Right.
Probably not close at all. Yeah.
It will be sold through Budweiser China's sales and distribution network, and this is thought to be in preparation for their forthcoming very punk Brewdog IPO. I don't know what this means for the equity for punks crowd. Brewdog has actually had a presence in China since 2015. It's just not as punk as it is now, but they expect this to increase sales considerably, which is very punk. And they also plan to open several very punk bars in China.
The punkest.
So what's on your selling out to Budweiser punk playlist, Tim? That is my question.
God Save the Queen is probably on there. Yes. Teenagers from Mars
yes.
is probably on there. Definitely Holiday in Cambodia, which I think is appropriate.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
Little Dead Kennedys. That's all on my selling out.
Real playlist. Big Fish, sellouts.
Sell out.
Got to have that on
yeah,
there.
There you go. There's a song by Dead Kennedys that I think would be appropriate, but I don't think the name of the title of the song is, I don't think I can say it on there, but it's about Nazi punks.
So, oh, okay. Oh, yeah, yeah. yeah. yeah okay, yeah. yes.
But, so, you know, Brewdog, the thing that gets me with them, Brian, is that they're just so oxymoronic constantly. You know, you come out and talk about how punk you are and they just don't live that and do what you want. Do what you want with your business. Succeed however you need. But don't be a poser.
I don't think they can avoid it. I'm surprised that there are still a very large number of people who buy into it. I think it's just people that aren't as geeky about beer as we are and see what they're actually doing. They're aware of the brand. They like the idea and they like the things that they've seen the owner say, and they don't go any deeper than that. And maybe that's all it takes. Base.
Maybe that's all it takes.
Let me tell you, when they had that series on, I forget what station it was, cable network anyway, where they were brewing all these weird beers in different places. Yeah. I enjoyed that.
I did too. I watched it. Yeah.
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 But
have you been to the new brew pub in Atlanta?
I haven't.
All right.
Are you?
Nate, have you made it down there? All right. So none of us have been to the BrewDog Atlanta yet. I will go. I'll throw that out there. I want to see what it's about. I don't buy BrewDog beer at the store typically. I've had a couple of their beers. Tactical Nuclear Penguin, Brian.
Was that a BrewDog beer?
Which I believe is a BrewDog beer. So we hunted that one down.
Oh, yeah.
And it was trash. I mean, it was a fun experience. But
that's the 17% burning brake pad.
I believe much higher than, I think it was a
19 or
30. No, like a 34. At one time, it was one of their, super beers.
Whatever
there. So,
yeah, that was really bad. I remember having that. And,
but I don't think, I'm not even sure that being good was part of the goal with that one. I think the goal was just to get the ABV up there. So
well, they get the ABV, the high ABV is punk to more than flavor.
I forgot about that.
High ABV is far more punk than flavor. So as an aging punk yourself, I think you have to go to the BrewDog place in Atlanta. It only makes sense.
I will pull out my combat boots, my army jacket. I thought of something. It's kind of weird that a lot of the old punk clothes were like military surplus. Just seems, but we were allowed to do that at the time, Brian. So we did.
Well, and the whole idea of punk, and I don't know if people even get this anymore, was
31%, Brian.
31%.
Tactical Nuclear Penguin was 31%.
I think the whole idea of punk was to take things that you don't normally associate together and throw them together just to outrage people.
All right.
It was, in fact, to, fight the establishment by messing with their ideas of what things are by putting them together. And I think it worked. I don't know. Yeah. We still have an establishment, so maybe it didn't work.
But interesting, you would think a brewery that defined themselves at punk would find someone other than Budweiser, but I guess that large of a network helps them get out to more people there, right?
Yeah, well, they are looking for an IPO, so it does make a lot of sense if you look at it just strictly from a business standpoint, but their image has never been strictly about business. Though I think that they've always been strictly about business behind the scenes from the very beginning, because they are phenomenally successful, no matter what you think of
them. And these guys, there's always controversy. I mean, just nonstop with these guys. The gold can debacle with, connected to Atlanta, the Donald Trump scofflaw English beer release.
Oh, that's right. That was a BrewDog thing, too.
Lots of stories on social media of how they put these people through extended job interviews and make them do work like designers. They'll have them actually do a full design of a new product launch and then not hire them
and steal it.
And then their design shows up, So there's a lot of things. Now, of course, they always deny that's what it is, but there's a lot of stories along
those everything lines. We've said so far is alleged, because I think that they allegedly do like to sue people for saying things about them allegedly.
There's a lot of story, as I said, a lot of stories out
stories.
There,
Brian. And they there's may just always be fairy tales too.
Yeah,
very unpunk stories.
They're just unlucky.
Yes,
literally all the 150 bad things that are accused of them, totally people talking
trash. It's just terrible, Brian. such a shame.
But moving right along, Brian, closures and acquisitions, always some news in these areas, Brian, and a big acquisition recently, correct.
So big acquisition news. Drake's Brewing is buying Bear Republic Brewing. So, Tim, when was the last time you had a Racer 5 IPA?
Long time, Brian. Long time.
And I suspect it was around the time I last bought a Racer 5 IPA.
Probably.
I was excited to get some. I heard really good things in 2016, I believe-ish. I bought some, had it shipped to me, and spent too much money on it. It was fun. It was fun. But, it's a... Drake's is buying them. They're calling it a merger, but it's really a sale. Drake's will own all of Bear Republic's recipes, formulas, and intellectual property.
Interesting.
And they will produce the full lineup of Bear Republic beers. Their official statement is, Racer 5 is shifting gears of partnership with the Drake's Brewing Company, the iconic West Coast IPA, once at the forefront of the California boom scene. craft beer boom, excuse me, is merging lanes to accommodate industry-wide changes while keeping a firm pedal to the metal moving forward. So,
okay,
these guys were friends before this and had actually partnered, the owners of the two companies, they'd actually partnered up. I think they launched a brewery before either of these other breweries existed. So it kind of makes sense. Bear Republic hit an all-time high volume-wise in 2016, around the time I bought the beers, of 81,800 barrels. Their volume is down to just 37,000 barrels by 2021. So they've fallen quite a bit, and
chunk there, huh?
They need some help getting going. Hopefully this works out for them. I wish the best for both of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And Brian, fairly recent news this week that we just saw. Don't have a lot of time to cover this, but there was a closure recently, kind of one that for me was unexpected.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. The platform platform beer company, they closed. Budweiser bought them back in 2019 because they were the fastest growing regional brewery in the United States in 2017. Yeah. And it just abruptly shut down. And initially it was just rumor, but it's been confirmed. Three of the beers will be produced by Budweiser in some capacity, or AB InBev, I should say. Hayes Jude, Old Future, and Canalway IPA. But it looks like everything else platform is done.
Surprising, man. That is one I did not see coming. You're listening to the Beer Guys Radio Show. We're going to take a break. Ben, we'll see you soon.
Brian and Tim, the beer guys. If you're like us, no lunch or dinner is complete without a pint or two of craft beer.
Which is why Truck and Tap in downtown Woodstock, Alpharetta, and Duluth are always on our list. Tim, why do they call it Truck and Tap?
Well, the tap part is easy, Brian. They've got 18 of them.
As for the truck part, that's where it gets interesting. Truck and Tap features your favorite Atlanta area food trucks, so you're getting a different menu every day.
Truck and Tap in downtown Woodstock, Alpharetta, and Duluth.
Truckandtap.com. Let them know that the beer guys sent you.
Follow the Beer Guys on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Boy, that escalated quickly. I mean, that really got out of hand fast.
Now, back to the Beer Guys Radio Show.
Welcome back to the Beer Guys Radio Show. If you enjoy the show, please consider supporting us on Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/beerguys. Patrons get cool perks like Beer Guys swag and commercial-free episodes. Now, let's get back to the show. Tim, I'm going to ask you a question because it occurred to me we frequently drink through all the beers of the week and we don't really talk about them on the air. We just kind of glaze over them.
Okay.
What has been your favorite of the beers we've had so far tonight?
Of the ones that we have had today, I dug the Mardi Gras Bock. I like the caramely notes there, you know, the toasty, malty on that. That was good. I enjoyed that a lot. The Wake and Bake was tasty. As I mentioned, bitter chocolate. You know, the deep roastiness there. I got a little like pepper notes to it. So that was good. The triple that we had was nice.
I like the triple. Yeah.
I dug that. Is that your favorite, Brian? Is the triple your favorite today?
It's close. It hit me just right. Okay. I did enjoy the triple, but that Mardi Gras Bock was also very good. And I could see where I might enjoy a king cake with that.
Now I'll say we also had a maple pecan praline Wake and Bake that we noticed after the fact is a couple years old. A lot of these pastry stouts don't hold on the shelf that well. And we know that. We talked about some of the variants of like the cinnamon rolled Wake and Bake and that. Anybody who had that one that tried to sell her some of them said, y'all drink them. They're not getting better. Drink them. This one, we're not going to put it on Terrapin. It did not hold up well over 2 years.
Yeah. So. Unfortunately. Yeah. It did not work out too well.
Yeah.
And I picked it up this week and I bought it off the shelf this week. So it's several years old. I put that squarely on the shoulders of distributor/retailer. Somebody need to pull that off the shelf and do something with
that. They don't pull stouts though, Brian. Yeah, I don't even fault the retailer because a stout sometimes I actually kind of like every now and then find a 2-3-4-year-old stout.
A fair point.
If I saw that and noticed 2021 on, probably still would have bought it.
Yeah.
And you would have too. I know.
You know what? You're right. I'm like, oh, they aged it for me. Right. And then I'm like, oh, wait, this didn't work out so well.
Now I want to throw out one that's not on our beer of the week list. And we've been spamming our socials with this week, but Sweetwater launched a new lager, and they did invite us out to their media event.
Yes. You know,
showed us a good time, gave us some beers and that. But, Brian, this is a great lager.
That is a really nice drinking lager.
So when we drank through all our beers of the week, I popped one of these just to have something to sip on, and I highly recommend it. If you see Sweetwater, just lager. That's the name of it, Brian.
It's a lager named lager.
Lager named lager, which it's a lager style in case you didn't get that.
In case that wasn't obvious.
But it's beer guys approved, man.
Indeed. I do approve of that.
But Brian, up next in our This Isn't Even Beer segment of the show, we got bourbon news. More bourbon news. We had some last week, but you found out what sounds like good news.
So I think I actually mentioned this in passing without having any specifics to back me up. But it turns out, in fact, Kentucky's Buffalo Trace distillery is doubling their production. And it's part of a $1.2 billion expansion. It will increase the production of Buffalo Trace, which makes sense, Eagle Rare, which is a favorite of mine, bourbons, meaning there will be increased availability of some of these bourbons in just a few years. It does take a few years to age them. They got to put them in barrels, so it's not like an immediate turnaround like with beer. Pappy and the Antique Collection are not mentioned, so they will probably not be impacted too much on this. But I would assume some of these better barrels will go into making some of the Antique Collection down the road. We're talking like...
We're probably talking 5, 7, 10 years.
We're probably talking 10 at the earliest. Yeah. So yeah, that the earliest side. So it's not just area for more barrels. They have a brand new 40-foot tall still. They can produce 60,000 gallons a day. And this all means, in addition to more bourbon, it means more bourbon barrels to put beers into. So your bourbon barrel-aged stouts that we know and love, or anything else you put in bourbon barrels, maple syrup, whatever, there'll be more of those out there.
More bourbon, more barrels. Sounds like a good thing to me.
I agree. Yeah. And so many of these things, your Wellers, your E.H. Taylors, they're so hard to find right now. And they're so good, and it's a shame. Everything about bourbon's gone crazy, honestly.
How much do you hunt hard-to-find bourbons? Like, do you dive into that and say, okay, I really want this E.H. Taylor, I'm going to go to half a dozen shops, or do you say, okay, can't find it, that's fine?
So my day, at one point in time, I did do that. I did go searching, but at this point in time, what I do is I'll go to a liquor store, and I try to go to liquor stores that will have some drops of things like this, and I will spend some time carefully evaluating what's on the shelf, because sometimes things that are a little on the rarer side will just get put on the shelf, and sometimes it'll go into a closet. So I do look, I do make a point of looking, and I do make a point of really closely evaluating what's out there, because I know what I like. But for the most part, when I know if there's a big lottery and there's a big whoop-de-doo and you got to buy 50 gallons of vodka to buy something else, I'm like, I don't do any of that. I'm beyond that. I've grown out of that. But if there's an opportunity to pick up something that's a little less obvious or a little less common, I'm going to get some of that. I'm definitely going to do that.
Are you a bourbon bunny, Brian?
A bourbon bunny?
A bourbon
bunny. I don't actually know what that is.
So
please
this was
explain.
Posted on social media this week that a store had put up a sign defining bourbon bunny. And a bourbon bunny is someone that hops from store to store trying to get rare and allocated bourbons, but they never do any business with the store.
I did actually do some stuff like that. The problem with that is if you have a day job and not independently wealthy, it's very difficult to go to all the places that might have it. You might have an idea, and some people get lucky, but I'm busy. I just can't.
Sure.
Like, I would if I could.
So my two sides of the bourbon bunny story, because the sign that the store posted is, and I understand this, I'll say I totally understand the store's point of view. You come in here, I've never seen you, I don't know you from Adam, and you say, do you have, you know, Pappy 23? You're like, even if I had 10 bottles behind the counter, I'm going to tell you no.
No chance.
You know, if I never see you before. That those are going to be allocated to their regular customers, their good customers that have bought bourbon throughout the year and that. I get that. I respect that, and I appreciate that. On the flip side of that coin, there's a lot of people that are just trying to find the bourbon. It's not like they're trying to do it to be intentionally bourbon bunnying around there to flip and all that. I have gone to a few stores to look for a bourbon just because I was curious if they had it without really giving any thought to the fact that it's shorthanded, allocated, and all that. You know, I understand it once it said that, but I don't think every bourbon bunny is negative. They may just be looking to get a bourbon that they've heard is great.
I would definitely be the bourbon bunny. I would go around, but there is something to be said about building a relationship with a source. And I did that years ago. And sure. I used to have, man, what golden days these were. I used to have boxes set aside where I would get text messages. Would you like this bottle? Yes, please. I'll put it in your box. Man, if you have an arrangement like that, it's expensive, but you never question it. And you got it. Thank your lucky stars you've got that. Because once you lose that and lose access to all that, it's tough. It can be tough.
I was a bit of a bunny, say, a decade ago. I'm more like a bourbon sloth now, bourbon Brian. Sloth. When I hear there's something good there, I'm going to come down out of my tree. I'll drag myself to the nearest liquor store. Ask if they have it. If they don't, I'll get something else, and I'll drag myself back into my tree. That's it. I'm not going to put the effort into bunny hopping around to find something. I don't care that much anymore.
Well, and you realize how much time, especially us being in Atlanta with the traffic we have, how much time it takes to get from place to place. And you can't just call ahead. And a lot of times you're going to talk to people who have no idea what you're even talking about. So you have to show up in person, and going from place to place is expensive in terms of money and time. So
we've shared before with beers, Brian, and we famously have mentioned KBS was a beer that kind of pushed us into home brewing. But when it was smaller production batches of KBS and we would get it in Atlanta, several stores was a one bottle limit.
Oh, yeah.
A single bottle limit. And there's times when I spent 2 to 3 hours driving from store to store to get a four pack just to find places that would let me get that one bottle, you know. Bourbon County Stout.
Youthful insanity. That's what that stuff
Gosh,
is.
Gosh, man, I just don't have time for that.
The Black Friday stuff, running around and then going to find a place that had it on. You get your bottles and then go to a place that had it on draft so you could drink it without touching your bottles. So you had your bottles to hoard for whatever purpose you had for those.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Now, Brian, we've got a Super Bowl story here, and I'm going to ask you, we've talked about Super Bowl 2 weeks in a row. We've kind of overdone that. Is this story worth covering, or can I veto this one?
You can probably veto it.
All right. I am vetoing
excessive partying.
Dismissed
it.
Here's the big part of it. They were drinking and partying at their parade. The Chiefs were. Some people complained because they didn't like it.
That's right.
That is the whole story, is that people didn't like it, and they thought that if they didn't want to party and have fun, then no one else should do that either.
Exactly.
Was that it? All right. Yeah. So not quite vetoed, but the short version of it. Brian, we're out of time, man. We did it. We talked too much. We have a story that we wanted to share that we'll talk about next week. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening to the Beer Guys Radio Show. We greatly appreciate it. For more craft beer info, follow us online. We are Beer Guys Radio on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Thanks again for tuning in. Have a great week. And don't forget to drink local. Cheers.